Exactly. And I've like DNF'd so many books. I've not finished books that start this way, because when your reader goes into, you know, opening the first page of a book, they're right. already disoriented, because they right. this is like white room. They have no idea what they're looking at. So to dive first into like, okay, so here's the world, explain everything right. is like, oh my goodness, my head's going to explode, because there's right. so much overwhelming information.
We're sisters, best friends, and authors on a mission to help you stoke your creative fire and live the life of your dreams. We believe that purpose fuels passion, and that creativity is your secret weapon for mass construction. There's never been a better time to bless the world with your dream realized. You're listening to The Kate and Abby Show.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of The Kate and Abby Show. Today we're talking all about world building. Specifically, mistakes that new writers make with world building and how to avoid those mistakes. So, world building, or crafting any sort of fictional setting, is a very important pillar to any story. It's the stage that your story is going to take place on. So, figuring out the setting and writing it in an immersive, compelling way really sets the stage for your whole story. But world building is also easy to mess up. And when you mess it up and you start revealing your world in the wrong way, it's very easy to lose your reader's attention and to bore them and make them want to put the book down because they're just overwhelmed with all this information. So that's why in today's podcast, Kate and I are going to be breaking down the do's and don'ts of world building, common mistakes that we see a lot of writers make, and how to avoid these pitfalls and make your fictional settings unique and compelling and memorable. So, super excited to dive into this topic. It's a big one, so you're definitely going to want to take notes. So grab a notebook and we will dive right into this. But first, before we get started, we want to thank our patrons. You guys, you are the supporters and the sponsors behind The Kate and Abby Show, and we so appreciate your support. So if you get value out of this podcast, go to patreon.com/thekateandabbyshow and help us keep it alive and free of interruptions. Also, when you join the Patreon, you get to hang out live every month with me and Kate. At the end of each month, we do a live monthly hangout where we chat about our stories, our writing projects with you guys, answer your questions. It's super fun. So check that out when you join the Patreon. Okay, let's get into the do's and don'ts of world building. Number one, don't info dump all the world building in the first chapter and overwhelm us with information such as names, places, kingdoms, magic, all that's involved in your world building. And this goes for fantasy as well as like contemporary in any story, but especially with fantasy, we've seen this a lot, and sci-fi, dystopian genres like that. A lot of times the world building all happens in like the first chapter or right. the opening, and we just get this huge load of exposition. And the reason why this is a mistake is because it loses our interest, because we can't make the connection of why does it matter.
Right.
And it's just a bunch right. of information. There's no like reference point of a character we're supposed to care about that all of this matters to.
Right. And you have to also remember too that your reader will have to sort of remember all of this.
Right.
Right. So we want to really weave this part together in a way that's memorable for the reader, where they don't have to, wait a minute, let me go back and consult this huge piece of information at the beginning to remember what that, you know, thing was
right.
called or whatever. It's just like if someone asked you, hey, would you pick up some oat milk for me at the store? You would be able to remember that. But if they're like, can you pick up some oat milk for me at the store? And can you get red bell peppers? And can you get this specific type of cereal I want? And can you get green beans? And can you get apples? And can you get some bread? But get this kind of bread. You'd be like, okay, I can't remember all of these things anymore. That's kind of the same right. feeling at the beginning of a book when it's like, this is how the world works. This is what the yeah. government's like. Here's the corrupt people in the government. They got here through this. These means they did this in order to get here. They killed these people. Those people are part of this clan, and this clan is clashing with that clan. That clan's from another planet, but these planets work like this. These yes. clans, this is the relationship they have with one another. Here's the names of the leaders. You're like, okay, I can't remember yeah, all of this exactly. at the same time. And then you have, okay, a couple chapters later, characters are referencing that, and you're like, I remember sort of, kind of, there was like something about a corrupt government, but I don't really remember, you know. Yeah. So we wanted to, we don't want to give them the whole list all at once. We want to weave it in ways that, like Abby's saying, make it matter to the character. And that's how we'll remember it. We'll remember it because, oh, that's important to that character because of this reason.
Right. Exactly. And I've like DNF'd so many books. I've not finished books that start this way because you're overwhelmed. And another thing is that when your reader goes into, you know, opening the first page of a book, they're already disoriented because this is like white room. They have no idea what they're looking at. So to dive first into like, okay, so here's the world, explain everything, is like, oh my goodness, my head's going to explode because there's so much overwhelming information. So on the flip side of this, do expand your world as your character interacts with it. Exposition through action. And you see this done in stories that really immerse you in the world because you're starting with a person. You're starting with a character that you can care about. Like I always say, you know, the characters are the most important part of the story because they're the ones who go on this transformative journey. They're the ones who have internal conflict. We care about them as an individual human, right? So because of that, we are now seeing everything that's happening to them through their eyes and using them as a measuring device for why everything matters. Mm-hmm. So as they start to interact with the world, how can you weave in descriptions and world building and building this setting, setting this stage through their interactions with the world and the specific things that are meaningful to them and their conflict? And I think you do such a great job of this in the Blood Race series and in all your books, but because your books are more like fantasy centered. Like in the first book of the Blood Race series, we have Ion, who's the protagonist, and he is superhuman. He has these superhuman abilities, but he doesn't know where they came from. He doesn't know how to control them. And the inciting incident is really him coming into the world of the dimension that is like this other realm where there are all sorts of people from all over the world and different timelines in history that are just like him and have these same powers. And as he steps into the dimension, he's disoriented. Like, he doesn't know what's going on or what any of this is like, but he has a guide in the second protagonist, Hawk, who brings him into this world and starts to explain things to him. And as he interacts with the dimension and starts to meet people, he starts to learn what all of this is and what it means. But we are like in deep point of view with him because we don't, you know, we don't know what's going on either.
Right.
You know, so as he interacts with everything else, we start to learn about the world and the world starts to sort of all the pieces start to fit into place because we're seeing it through his eyes.
Right, unfolding through the character.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. And it, like you're saying, and I'm glad you think so, but like, it's like you anchor in that character, you know, and then you're seeing it through their eyes rather than seeing a synopsis. It almost feels sort of like going to Wikipedia and reading, what, you know, what's a breakdown of these worlds. And then finally we dig through all that and here's the main character underneath all that stuff. You know what I mean? It's sort of like digging for a needle in a haystack to find the main character. And like also other stories like the Chronicles of Narnia, we've talked about numerous times in world building that they do a great job of really introducing you to the characters. And then from those main characters, specifically Lucy, we see Narnia slowly grows bigger and bigger the further she and the Pevensies venture into it, not the other way around. We're not introduced to Narnia and the lore and the history and all of that first. And then finally, here's the Pevensies. Yeah. So kind of starting small and zooming out rather than trying to find the main characters amongst this vast landscape that we've painted.
Yes.
Because like you're saying, you're walking into a white room. You don't know what to expect. And if we can anchor the reader with the main character as quickly as possible, now they feel there's a sense of safety there. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, we've got our main character. Now all we have to do is follow the main character. And I know I've seen films. We've both seen films where you're kind of wondering, who's the main character? What is the main story here? And your mind can't really relax and enjoy the story until it finds its point of reference.
Right. Yeah. And so another easier way to look at this would be like, instead of starting zoomed out and zooming into the main character, you're starting zoomed into the main character and then you're slowly zooming out.
Exactly.
Okay. So you're starting with that point of meaning. Number two, don't make your character's conflicts begin and end with the way the world works. Mm-hmm. So this is something that we've seen a lot with stories. And most of the time it's with these plot-driven stories. Like, right. A lot of times it's not a character-driven story because the whole conflict and everything that's happening to this character, it's really circling around the way the world works. And by that I mean maybe the society they find themselves in, or the dystopian world that they find themselves in, or whatever the case may be, whatever setting your story is taking place in, depending on the genre. If the conflicts begin and end with, okay, well, this is my place in society or whatever, and so I'm being sort of knocked around by society and by the rules of my world, and because I, you know, live in this place or on this planet or I'm part of this clan or this people, these things are non-negotiable things that are happening to me. If that's where your conflict for your character begins and ends, you're going to find yourself hitting this wall of meaninglessness, right. Basically, because you'll get to a point where you're like, okay, well, what's the juicier, deeper stuff behind this? What's the thing behind the thing? What's really driving their internal motivation? If it's all on the surface and it could be following anybody in this right. world, then it's not really character driven. You know,
right, that's the thing, is if you could easily pivot yes. and have it be about the sub character and the conflict is exactly the same, mm-hmm. right. then perhaps look a little deeper, what is the unique issues facing this character?
Yeah.
Because, right. and that's true to life too, because we all as human beings have unique conflicts within us personally. So that's right. That's why it's important to tap into, well, what is their personal internal conflict? Not just yes. how are they interacting with the world just like everyone else is, because yeah. most likely their family, their friends would be influenced by the same things if you were writing a fantasy scenario like you were describing.
Right, exactly.
Or even you can yeah. apply it to contemporary as well, but mm-hmm. like just finding that unique thread.
Right, yes. And like you guys, if you've been on my channel for a while, you've probably seen my videos on like the inciting incident, writing the inciting incident, making the first plot point matter to your story if you're using the three-act story structure. And in those videos, which I can link below, I use some story examples. One of the examples that you know I've used before in the past about world building specifically and this character-driven thing is Divergent, and how that story opens with like a lot of info dumping, first of all, a lot of exposition about the world and how it works in society. And the main character, the protagonist, Triss, is kind of she finds herself in this society, but she doesn't have a lot of deeper layers to her personal conflict. It's more to do with like, well, because I'm part of this group in this society, I'm being pushed in these different directions. And so she has this element of where she's different from everyone else because she's divergent, but that's not really a personal belief thing. That's more of like a thing that I happen to be. And so this is just a pitfall you want to avoid when you're building your character's world and the way the world works. The way the world works can't be the only point of conflict they're facing. Okay, make it deeper than that. Challenge yourself to make it deeper than that. And they may still face conflicts of the way the world works and how their society is pushing them here or there. But challenge yourself to see if we can make this even deeper on a personal level for this character. So on the flip side, do leverage the way the world works to make your character's unique internal conflicts more compelling. Okay, so you can layer and stack these things is right. the best way to do it, I find. Like, okay, we already have this layer of society is against them, or the world and the rules of the world are against them. But on top of that, or beneath that, beneath the surface, we also have this personal desire versus fear, this personal push-pull of something this character wants and something they're afraid of, a misbelief that's holding them back, a fatal flaw. Right? That constantly gets in their way of finding true happiness. So how is this conflict flying under the radar? How is it going to make their experience in this world even more complex and complicated because it's so unique to them?
Right.
And we can't switch to another character because we care specifically about this character because their internal conflict is unique.
right.
to them.
Exactly. And even finding that with larger scale fantasy, mm-hmm. like even things yeah. that appear to be plot driven, like one that pops into my head is like Lord of the Rings, for example, which has right. very large scale plots of big, huge, epic fantasy battles moving forward, lots and lots and lots of world building. But we are anchored with Frodo and we are seeing what is his personal internal conflict about the, you know, his interactions with the power of the ring. And what emotions are that bringing, is that bringing about for him and other people who encounter the power of the ring? And so we have that, we're still zooming into that anchoring point. And without that element, if you took that element out of it, we didn't have Frodo as an anchor point, it wouldn't pack the same punch. It would just be meaningless epic fantasy battles right. moving forward without really any reference point for why does it matter? What is the emotional core of the story? So things like this can help you cut to the crux of the matter. What is the thing? If we peel back all those onion layers, what's at the heart of the story? This is what right. really helps you find that.
Yes. 100%. So true. Before we continue on to mistake number three, I just want to quickly pause here to tell you guys about a special live training that I'm going to be hosting this coming Sunday, all about world building. So if you want to take your world building to the next level and learn my tried and true techniques for crafting an unforgettable story world, then I invite you to join this live training. It's happening Sunday, February 4th at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And in this live training, we're going to dive even deeper into world building and crafting setting. I'm going to share with you the life-saving techniques that have helped me so much to make my settings more immersive, believable, and unforgettable. So in this training, you will learn how to leverage your story world to deepen your character's internal conflict, my secret hack for effortlessly writing exposition through action, how to write immersive setting descriptions without slowing down your story's pacing, how to organize the details of your world and keep track of everything, and the best way to curate a one-of-a-kind vibe for your story world and have fun while doing it. So this training encapsulates every important lesson I've learned about world building, and I want to share all of this with you. So join, sign up, save your spot at the link below this video, and space is limited, so definitely click that link as soon as possible to save your spot. Again, it's happening February 4th at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and if you can't make it to the live stream, don't worry, you can still watch the replay as many times as you want.
And when you sign up for the live training, you also get access to all of Abby's yes. past live trainings too.
Yes.
So if you've heard her talk about like a lot of these other trainings that you're like, oh, I haven't had a chance to catch up, this might be your chance to be able to do like a complete writer's study hall and make yes. lots of notes heading into this bright new year of lots of writing.
Yes, tons of valuable resources in the whole live training archive. There's over like 17 hours of in-depth training on all writing topics. So yes, I'll see you over there. Click the link below to save your spot at this upcoming live training. Okay, moving back onto our world building mistakes. So number three, don't paint yourself into a corner with the rules of your world. This is something that Kate and I have discussed a lot with writing our new series, because there are a lot of fantasy elements to this series. It's urban fantasy mostly, but there's a lot of stuff that is in the world that's unique to the world, and we're constantly bouncing ideas right. off of each other, poking holes in each other's ideas to help us make sure we're not painting each other into a corner
right.
with the rules of the right. world.
Going back and saying, well, does this work up against this scenario? Does right. this work up against this scenario? And one of the comforting things too is that there's always the editing process. So you yes. can kind of go wild and hone sure. in on it when you edit, but you also don't want there to be like too many surprises when you go through the editing process. So always keeping in mind, where will this take me then? You know,
right. yes.
will this work? And yeah. Not painting yourself into a corner, or if you decide to ignore the fact that you've painted yourself into a corner, then it can come off feeling a bit sloppy.
Yes.
We've talked about this with especially Marvel films, like which we've both done a lot of, you know, we've talked a lot about things we love in Marvel films, but how sometimes it's like, okay, this in certain scenarios, everyone has superpowers and can deal with everything. And then in other scenarios, that goes out the window. Yes. So it's like, well, so you have to really kind of ask yourself, okay, well, if this works here, does it work here? And does it work here? And does it work here? And just going through that mental checklist to see what is it going to work up against.
Exactly. And this can apply even to contemporary stories as well. Even if you're not writing fantasy, even if you're writing a story that takes place in the real world, there's still world building and setting development to be done, and make sure that some of the things you choose to do don't paint you into a corner. So it can be something even very simple, like maybe a character doesn't have a car, but at some point in the story they need to get somewhere and they only have themselves to transport themselves there. How are you going to make that work? Or even like when I was writing The Other World, I had to sort this out too, because the setting of that, even though it's taking place in the real world in the 90s, taking place in the San Juan Islands in Washington, and I have the story taking place on an island, right? And they have no mode of transportation to other islands or to the mainland. So I had to figure out, okay, what are the rules here? You know, how do they get there if they need to? You know, do they take a boat? Do they take a plane? What are the rules?
What's the protocol?
Exactly. Like setting up the rules of your world in such a way that everything else works with it. Mm-hmm. So do stay consistent with your world's rules, but leave room for new possibilities. So this is especially true for like writing any kind of characters who have superpowers or supernatural strength or whatever. What are some of their weaknesses? Mm-hmm. What are some defense mechanisms that can be used against them? Because if they're all powerful and they can't be defeated, then you kind of have painted yourself into a corner,
right?
With like, well, now they can't be defeated. So where's this story going to go?
Right. So kind of taking the time to decide, what is your character's kryptonite?
Yeah.
What is going to create the sense of there's actual stakes here.
Right.
So if you want your character to be in peril and for your readers to feel like a sense of nervousness to see what the outcome will be, instead of just, oh, well, they'll be fine because they're indestructible in every single way, then figure out at the get-go, what is the kryptonite here? What is the weakness? Maybe it's a person. Maybe it's a place, maybe it's a memory. Deciding what those things are, of course, it could be a more fantastical element, like this certain magic or this certain, you know, wizard, whatever.
Right.
You can really decide those things, you know, at the outset. And that way it's like, okay, well, they have this, but then there's this. You know, that balances, balance each other out.
Yes, yes, exactly. Making sure that you have still, you leave a little bit of breathing room there so that if later maybe you're writing a series or something, you want to introduce a new loophole or a new, you know, defense mechanism or a new strength and weakness for this magic or this world somehow, that you have the room for that, but it's not so changeable and inconsistent that your reader feels like they're just being slapped in the face by this story. Like anything can happen, you know, don't question it, because that can feel really, it can feel like a betrayal sort of to the reader, because they're trying to build the parameters of what is possible and what is impossible here. So making sure that your world stays consistent, but you still have room for new possibilities if you want to try something new in the future.
Right. Just, it doesn't have to be complicated either. It can be something really simple. Like one that jumps to my mind is in the movie Tangled, how simply if her hair is cut, it stops having magical powers.
Right.
Now we've created stakes there with that very, very simple thing. Like, oh, her hair gets cut, the magic dies.
Right.
So now we're like, ooh, is that going to happen at some point and when it's needed? And then she won't be able to, you know, work her magic powers. We've created that now. If it's like, no, you can cut it, you can braid it, you can do whatever and nothing ever happens and everyone lives happily ever after. It's like, why am I reading this?
Yes,
you know, we have to have some stakes. So it doesn't have to be anything super complicated. Like you don't have to come up with like, let's come up with the most complex magic system that, you know, sometimes that can be worse. Sometimes it's better to keep it really simple. Like we really understand, okay, this has that consequence. And then we can play from there.
Right. Very true. Yeah. And finally, number four, don't slow down your story's pacing with wordy descriptions of the world. Now, when I say slow down your story's pacing, I'm talking about basically bring it to a screeching halt, which we've seen done in many, many books, and even films. But like when you hit pause on the current story with your main character to go into a big long description of a setting or, you know, something from the past or anything about the world building, but even a specific, like a current setting that your character is in, is the momentum still moving forward or have we stopped for like page after page going into the descriptions of what this place looks like, how it functions, the history of it, the parameters of what's possible here? Is that something that if you have a lot to say about it, definitely keep all of this in your notes. That's an important thing to do. Have like your own little wiki of information for your whole story world. But are there ways to sprinkle the more expansive details in throughout your story so that your character is learning, interacting, exploring? They're picking up new pieces of information, but it's not all, you know, okay, pause, hit stop on the story. We have to go into a big explanation of this now or a huge long description of what we're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a way to not slow down,
right,
but to keep the momentum going forward? And that's the flip side of this. Do make your descriptions vivid, but meaningful to the story. So keep things moving forward and make sure that when you're describing something, it's something that is immediately mattering to
right.
the characters. It's mattering to the story. So we're not getting distracted, like looking at things that have no significance.
Right. And also remembering that everything you're bringing your character's attention to, you're actually bringing your reader's attention to that.
Right.
So just asking yourself, what is the reason for bringing my reader's attention to this? Is it important? Because your reader is constantly subconsciously asking, like, okay, how is this important to the story? How is this important to the story? Is that going to appear later? Is this going to have a consequence? And if it's for no reason at all, you might want to second guess, like, should we really have that there? Or is there a quicker way that we can just breeze right through that and keep going?
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And so this might be a little bit tricky, might be a challenge to sit down and, okay, I have this, you know, I have this new setting that I want to describe and introduce to the story, whether it's a new realm or a fantasy world or a country or a planet, whatever the case may be. How do you then create an immersive description that is meaningful to your characters, that brings the exposition through the action? That there are so many different ways to do this. Mm-hmm. Like, it really depends on your writing style. And this is something that I would say time, practice, and you will find your voice, your unique edge for doing this. But this is something that I'm going to dive deeper into in the upcoming live training. We're going to talk about creating these immersive descriptions without slowing down the momentum of your story so that you still have that meaning and significance and you have the colorful, vivid writing, but you're not hitting pause on the current story. So again, in this live training, we're going to cover how to leverage your story world and deepen your character's internal conflict, my secret hack for effortlessly writing exposition through action, how to write immersive setting descriptions without slowing down your story's pacing, how to organize the details of your world and keep track of everything, and the best way to curate a one-of-a-kind vibe for your story world and have fun while doing it. We're gonna dive deep into world building in this training. And this is something that I've had a lot of suggestions from you guys. A lot of you have asked for a training on writing setting, writing world building, and doing all of that. So super excited to dive deep into this with you guys. It's something that has been on my mind for a while, and I'm really looking forward to this live training. So again, happening Sunday, February 4th. I hope to see you there. Click the link below this video to save your spot at the live training. And when you join my Patreon at the Live Training Pass level, you are getting access to all my live trainings. So the whole archive, that's over 17 hours of in-depth training on topics like writing, publishing, writing romance, relationships, plotting, and so much more. So I hope to see you over there. Tons of value to explore in the live training vault. and click the link below to save your spot at this upcoming training on world building. It's going to be awesome. So I will see you guys on Sunday at that event. But just to recap today, what we have learned about world building, the do's and don'ts. Don't info dump all your world building in the beginning of your book and overwhelm us with information. Instead, expand your world as your character explores it. Don't make your character's conflicts begin and end with the way the world works. Do leverage the way the world works to make your character's internal conflicts more compelling. Don't paint yourself into a corner with the rules of your world. Do stay consistent with your world's rules, but leave room for new possibilities. And don't slow down your story's pacing with wordy descriptions of the world. Instead, make your descriptions vivid but meaningful and keep the story moving forward. So, hopefully you took lots of notes and got lots of value out of this episode. Comment below and tell us what you think. Join the discussion. We would love to hear from you guys, and we would love to hear your thoughts on world building. What are some great examples of world building in fiction or film? Share your favorite examples in the comments below. Thank you guys also for listening on audio podcast platforms. If you're listening over there, give us a nice rating. It really helps us out. And again, thank you to our patrons who make this show possible and help support this show. Thank you again for your amazing support, and we so appreciate it. So if you want to support the show, join the Patreon. The link to that is also in the description box below. I will see you guys at the live training on Sunday, and Kate and I will see you in the next podcast. Until then,
stay stoked
and rock on.